You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
So we're going to be in Jeremiah 18. I've taught on this before. I've actually taught on this at a national NHRA event. We had about 400 people attending. It was quite an honor. But I had the message all prepared. Totally blown out of the window. God changed it up so much yesterday. He's just so amazing. So amazing. So we're going to be in verses 1 through 12. But before I begin, let's pray for the word. Father, we lift you up today because you are so worthy. And we ask that you would bless the offerings that come from cheerful givers that believe in what Harvest Bible Church is doing in our community because of you. We give you all the praise and glory, and we ask that this offering is not just from our pocketbooks, but that it comes from our hearts. And we pray that it would include our time, treasure, and talents to be used for your good purpose in such a way, Father, that it would glorify you. And I pray for the message today, Father. May your holy words be loud and clear and not mine, but yours. May we hear you, Lord. Push me aside. You speak. May you increase as I decrease. And we pray this in the holy and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jeremiah 18. Let's read the whole thing. Verses 1 through 12. It's about the potter and the clay. Verse 1. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." And then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. And then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plan it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Now therefore, speak to men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one of you, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, that is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will obey. We will, every one, obey the dictates of his evil heart. Wow. Is that America today? Is that the direction we're going? I pray not, but I see that. So who is this guy named Jeremiah? He certainly wasn't a bullfrog. In my humble opinion, he was one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. Although perhaps it would seem that he was not really effective. But always, Jeremiah loved his people, and he had a great love and compassion for them, even mourning and grieving of his people that were not slaughtered by the Babylonians, but were captive. In his time of brokenheartedness, he wrote the next book in the Bible called Lamentations, where he mourned and he grieved deeply. If history repeats itself, and it does, could that be our story also? When it came to faithfulness, Jeremiah was one of the best. As a prophet and messenger of God, whenever he received the word that God spoke to him, he would listen where to go and what to say, no matter who he had to say it to or how difficult the message was. He delivered it every time as the Lord willed it to be. And when it came to obedience, Jeremiah, in my opinion, next to Jesus Christ, of course, was the most faithful of all the prophets. He never said no to God, not once. And when God asked Jeremiah the prophet to deliver a message, no matter how brutally convicting it might be to the ears of the person or persons hearing it, even at the risk of losing his own life, Jeremiah faithfully delivered that message, even to kings and enemies of his people. He was a heartbroken prophet that delivered a heartbreaking message of doom and gloom to the stiff-necked people of Israel. He was persecuted and despised by his own countrymen. For 40 years, he shared the prophetic word of God with warnings of what would happen if they would not turn from their evil and wicked ways. Not one person heeded the warnings. Every warning was rejected, which broke his heart, and yet filled with love and compassion, Jeremiah continued to preach God's word. So back to Jeremiah being effective. I want to touch on this. It's important. Was he not faithful, bold, obedient, willing always to serve God? Did he not deliver God's message as God wanted it to be delivered? Absolutely. So maybe in the eyes of the world, he would be considered an ineffective preacher. For 40 years, rejected every time, but he continued on. But in God's eyes, he was most effective and very successful in doing God's will. What's more important? What people see in us or what God sees in us? Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Psalm 139:13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Isaiah 43:7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Once we are born and are out of our mother's womb, is God done forming us? Jesus said that we must be born again. Paul wrote that we need to be transformed by a renewing of our minds. He said, as Christians, we are made anew. We become new creations. The old man is gone, and the new man has come. Jesus said, by their fruits, you will know them. And James said, faith without works is dead. Okay, I know that we are saved by grace. And we are. Not by works. I get that. The Bible says we are justified, just as if we had never sinned. Justified when we become children of God, and He, the Holy Spirit, continues to sanctify us until the day of the Lord. In other words, the work of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit who dwells in each and every one of you. His work of regeneration of the lost and sinful man into one of a righteous man made for every good work for his purpose. And that purpose is that we would glorify him in everything we say and do. Everything. Not just sometimes or when it's convenient. Or God forbid that we might offend somebody. So God told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house and that he would cause him to hear his words. How important is it to cultivate the hearing of God's voice? Our Father in heaven is always speaking, but are we often too busy to listen? We are admonished and told in the Bible, be still and know that I am God. God speaks to us in many ways. In Scripture, by His Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what, He spoke to me yesterday. Through others. Iron, sharpening iron, fellowship, his disciples that abide in his word, by his creations, by our life experiences that God puts before us. And as we grow closer to him, we look back and we really see that his hand was involved. They were divine appointments. Or perhaps you may hear that small, still voice from God Almighty speaking directly to you. Verse 1. Let's break this down. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. God spoke to Jeremiah and told him to arise, and I will cause you to hear. Why didn't God just tell him what he wanted right then and there? Why did he have to arise? And the fact that God said arise shows that Jeremiah had to move from one state to another, either mentally or physically. And the word arise to become powerful, it means to become powerful, to come on the scene. So Jeremiah had to move from a state of repose to a state of action. And by observing the potter, God was speaking to Jeremiah, wasn't he? And there I will cause you to hear my words. God wanted to give him a visual image of what he wanted Jeremiah to hear. He wanted him to see his message so that he would understand it better and that it would become clear. Remember, Jeremiah was a prophet and a spokesman for God. He delivered God's word and his messages to the Jewish people, no matter how difficult or harsh it may have been. You know, I wanted to have Susan up here. She is such a great pottery maker. And I wanted her right here and just, you know, with a potter's wheel and forming the pot. It would have been so cool. I just didn't have time to put it together. But maybe I get the opportunity to do this again, a different message. But so verse 3. When I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And now he was watching the potter as the potter was working the clay. God's message was coming in loud and clear. Verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Marred. God had a great revelation to share with Jeremiah, which Jeremiah would have missed if he had not obeyed God's first command. God showed Jeremiah the process of being made by the hands of the great potter. He saw how the vessel in God's hand was marred. And the word marred in the Greek, Nepal, to be spoiled, be corrupted, corrupt, be injured, be ruined, be rotted. Maybe the vessel was not perfect, maybe lopsided as it got off center. Maybe it had impurities that needed to be plucked out of the clay. He had to pick it up again and plop it back down on the wheel, hard on the base of the wheel, so he could start all over again. Just like a drill sergeant that slams you down into the lowly existence of nothing higher than a worm, he will build you up into what he has purposed you to be. I remember clearly those first weeks in boot camp when I was called a maggot. Until that day, I graduated and I was called a Marine. The potter had to recenter that glob of clay. He had to push down hard to form a solid base or foundation. And I hear this even from Christians. God will never give us more than we can handle. Hogwash. Hogwash. He does and he will, because I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. He will give you more as you obediently do more for him. Apply pressure Listen, God will apply that pressure so that we recognize that in our human strength, we can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. Look in the Bible. Noah, Joseph, Abraham, Moses, David, Joshua, Gideon, and how about the disciples? These were ordinary men that did impossible things only because of the Holy Spirit of God that gave them supernatural power and which caused the world to say that these simple men turned the world upside down. The potter, the potter made it into a vessel of his liking that was good. Verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, verse 6, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Who is God speaking to when he is saying, O house of Israel? Speaking to his people. And if we are his people, and we are, because we have been grafted in as his chosen. And if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is, then he is speaking to us also. You see, God wants to make us into his vessels. Indeed, we are like clay in his hands that he will form into a vessel to be used for every good purpose. A vessel filled with God's Holy Spirit, his word, the righteousness of Jesus, because he is in us, his love, mercy, and grace that is to be poured out onto a fallen world that needs to come to him. I remember a little short poem that's also a prayer. Lord, I pray that I may be a vessel that you can use. Mold my life with loving hands to be whatever you choose. Verse 7. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Verse 11. Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now everyone from his evil way and make your ways and doings good. Isaiah 45:9, you don't need to turn there. And I'm just going to read from the New Living Translation. Verse 9, what sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, Stop, you're doing it wrong? Does a pot exclaim, How clumsy can you be? Of course, this message and many more that the Lord God gave to Jeremiah to further warn his chosen people that nothing good was going to happen to them if they continued down the path of disobedience and evil that they were on. I believe that God, once again revealing his love, mercy, and grace, one more time, he was visually revealing that he is the sovereign God Almighty. Follow him, and his commandments and blessings will come. Turn your back on him, and destruction will come. To create a beautiful vessel, a bowl, or a pot of clay into a masterpiece, you must have three elements. And you know this. You must have fine potter's clay. You need a potter's wheel. And you need a skilled potter. One who is persistent, diligent, caring, driven to perfection. A true artist. Clay speaks of how God has total control dealing and working with men. Only he is a sovereign God Almighty. Clay is a worthless material, yet can be formed into something useful, even valuable, even beautiful. And the potter's wheel represents the many turns that we go through in life. And we can stay in this messy, out of shape life that we're in, or allow God to pick us up, plop us down hard, and apply pressure with the strong hands of a loving divine masseuse, gently plucking out the pebbles, impurities, and other imperfections, still putting pressure downwards, sometimes even to the point of pain. Yet he is creating that solid base, that foundation for that vase or vessel. And as the pressure continues downward, as the fingers come into play, as the thumbs push down and the fingers gently and softly pull up on the edges, no longer are we looking at a worthless glob of dirt, but now we begin to see the object that is being formed to the liking of the potter. And yes, it might resemble one pot or a bowl that had been created before at the wheel as it continues its rotation. But it's unique, one of a kind, no other exactly like it in the world. Most importantly, it's a masterpiece to the potter, and it is very good. God is preparing Jeremiah's heart and mind for a special message to his people and giving Jeremiah this visual and aid is powerful. But will it be effective? Is this visual only for the Israelites? What about New Testament Christians? Is it applicable? I think it is. And Scripture, as well as it was written many times, was meant for the Jewish people. And yet now, I can go into the Old Testament, and I can see the deeper meaning, and I can see the meaning that was meant for the Jews, and that same applies today. Jeremiah was faithful in delivering God's messages and warnings. God's warning delivered by Jeremiah was rejected, as we go to verse 12. And they said, that is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans. And we will, everyone, obey the dictates of his own evil heart. I pray that you heard clearly Pastor Randy's message last Sunday. Some would say it was harsh. But like Jeremiah, he delivered God's word out of faithfulness and obedience to him, and out of his love for each one of you. He repeated the words that Jesus spoke in his message last Sunday when he said, all those who say, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of God. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And perhaps you left here questioning your own salvation with those same thoughts in verse 12. That is hopeless. Why even try? Listen, Christians, I want to encourage you today. I want to lift you up. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. No one will snatch them from my hand, and no one will snatch them from my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So here's the question I have for you. Do you hear the good shepherd when he calls? Do you have a relationship with him? Do you practice lawlessness? I hope you know what this means. In other words, do you live for sin? Are you living for yourself and this world first? Or are you making him first and foremost in your life? And the Bible says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And when you truly believe that verse with all your heart, then you are truly his, for you will live for him and him only. And you will have a peace like you've never had before. There will be no anxieties. There will be no worries. And yes, listen, we all sin. As Christians, we fall short of the glory of God. We're not perfect. We're just forgiven. Glory, hallelujah. We are forgiven. Jesus said, it is finished, as he took his last breath. And my Savior did not die in vain. Therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if you have truly repented and accepted Christ into your life, into your heart, not only as your Savior, but as your Lord, you are his, and you have the right to be called a child of God. I want you to go to Romans 9. Romans 9. Mark this in your Bibles, because this is really important scripture, as is the entire Bible. Romans 9, verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Sounds a little bit like Jeremiah's message, and this is the New Testament. Listen, please, please get this. How we act, how we are to God inside these walls, in this sanctuary, on Sundays, is most important to him. But how we act outside of these sanctuary walls is even more important to him. We should be who we are here 7 days a week, not just on Sunday. We should glorify God every second of every minute of every hour of every day that we exist. That should be in us, in our hearts. And we need to be authentic. We need to get real. We need to examine ourselves and our Christian walk. The other 6 days in our walk are just as important as when we are here in church. In fact, the other 6 days may be more important, as it brings more opportunity to share the love of Christ without the safety net that we feel inside these walls with fellow believers. It's a time that we may be out of our comfort zone. It's a time that our faith may be tested. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to share our faith and show the love of Jesus to every person we come in contact with, especially our wives, husbands, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, employees, friends, acquaintances, even our enemies. So let us begin the outreach of HBC. And please never, 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 never take your relationships for granted. Treat them as the good shepherd would. This is your purpose. That is the beautiful and unique vessel that God has formed you to be. So go out and be salty. Be a beacon of light in a dark world. Be ambassadors of Christ. Be ministers of reconciliation. Love on one another 7 days a week, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do it because you are his vessels, uniquely made for every good purpose. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. As the worship team makes their way up, let me close in prayer. We thank you, Father, for your holy word. We thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. And we especially want to thank you that you have given us a way out of this fallen world through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for every opportunity to serve you, to show our love for our Lord and Savior. Continue to equip us. Continue to form us. Make us into the vessels that you have purposed us to be. Help us bring glory to you each and every day. Thank you for your promise of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, in the faith and knowledge that you have given us, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to you, dear Father, except through him, in his holy and precious name. Amen.